You know, I got to say, never in my political life have I seen, this is a compliment for Donald Trump, I have never seen a person fight so hard.
You know, I was just thinking the same thing. I have never seen a president work so hard to get other people elected.
Often utterly alone, attacked from all sides.
Yeah, front, behind, and both sides.
With all these Republican candidates, come into my district. No, come into mine. Come into mine. No, come into mine. Are you in the fight? No, you be. Just come on, show up here. Tell the people to vote for me. I don't want to go on the record. Okay, cool. And he fights and fights and fights. I have never seen one person battle so passionately for this country in all my life. I mean, it's a country full of so many people who literally, some of them not even to be blamed, because they have no idea how close they are to losing their individual freedoms and liberties that they take for granted.
Gee, he seems like a nationalist, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know.
Somebody who loves their nation, which is not being racist.
No, he's a white supremacist, but we all know that. But yeah, no, I mean, he is literally, I have never seen a person fight so hard and refuse to moderate. No, I will not, no matter how many times they tell him he has to moderate, you know, and the game that has been played in this election, I can't say it enough times. People, well, you know, sometimes I don't like Trump is, they repeat these talking points from the media. Trial, actually, Trump is, you know, sometimes I don't like how he says, you know, communicates. He could be a bully and he could be. No, again, let me remind you, this is what he's up against. Here's Tim Kaine.
We're now beyond obstruction of justice in terms of what's being investigated. This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
Chris Matthews.
He said today, America first. It was not just the racial, the Hitlerian background to it.
Do I need to go on? Here's former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm speaking for the Democrats on CNN.
I think it's treason. And this issue about this slow-moving coup that you describe is one issue, not the only issue, but it is a huge issue.
A guy, a president, who clearly is owned by Putin. We basically now have a press release that's been put out, that's been twisted and mangled, that now will give this president permission to fire Rosenstein, who will now take over this investigation. Our democracy is under siege. People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator. This is not something to analyze anymore.
Yeah.
This is not a good day for Trump.
Yeah.
Trump's ideology, same as ISIS.
Like 10,000 members. I think the president has far more supporters who espouse an equally hateful ideology that dehumanizes other people.
I'm so sick and tired. I am so sick and tired of the media and everybody else telling, well, Trump, you know, sometimes he speaks out of turn, and he is, in response to this, he's been operating at about 50% of what he takes on a daily damn basis. From the media. And it drives me insane when people on our side repeat, well, you know, he could say it like a little less divisively. In the face of what?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That? And that was a small sample. I play it all the time so that people can understand what the president is responding to. And when you say, well, you know, he could, you know, I don't like how he tweets. Well, you know what? You're falling for their talking points. Those are their talking points.
And defense, I will say, of some of us on the right, I think part of the problem is that we're not listening to MSNBC, CNN, CBS, ABC on a regular basis. So we don't hear these ludicrous, absolutely baseless accusations.
Ends.
But you're right. It never ends. It's on the somebody, Tucker Carlson, was running something with Don Lemon the other day. This guy is absolutely nuts.
Yes.
Don Lemon is an absolute. Well, I don't know. I mean, he's absolutely insane.
He's nuts. No, I mean, he said the real terrorists are white men. And we ought to begin to curtail their movements. Again, you know, people say, Tara, why do you play this stuff from CNN? Just nobody watches them. They have tiny ratings. Yeah, nobody watches them. But they have the number two most hit website for news in the country.
And it gets repeated and repeated and
so
repeated
it does.
On
it's
social
out
media.
There. It's over and over and over.
And
so, I mean, he's
that's
very, that's
why
what he's,
Trump
yeah.
is, that's what, as you correctly point out, that's what he's up against all the time.
Yes.
And I'll be honest with you. I think maybe that. That's part of my reservation about some of the things that Trump's tweets and says, but I don't spend my time listening to MSNBC and the vile stuff that CNN and others put out there, that the Don Lemons put out there all the time. I don't hear that, so all I hear is him reacting to, and I need to temper my reactions, I think, somewhat, because you're right. Trump is up against, I have never seen the level, the depths to which the media and the left will go to criticize this this guy. Who, remember this, Trump's doing this for free.
Yeah, he's not even taking a salary.
He's not taking a salary. He is giving the money that he gets as salary for president of the United States to various groups and organizations. He even let the media decide who gets the check. He's not taking any money. He, and that's not, this is not to laud Trump as a person. I'm just saying he doesn't need this.
No.
And he does, he doesn't need the power. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the exposure. He had all that to begin with. All he has done is open himself and his family and anybody associated out with him to, you know, false attacks, false accusations, and demeaning language constantly, 24/7.
And so when Trump said last week, the media asked him, so are you going to moderate? He's like, I think I have been pretty moderate. If anything else, I should turn it up.
He's probably right.
Yeah, and this is how they strive to silence him. It drives me nuts. And then, you know, when you listen to this, if we keep the House today, it will be a freaking miracle. Historically.
Yeah.
As Kaylee, what's her name? Where'd she go? It's in here. From the RNC. She nailed it. I don't need to play anything else today. Kaylee McEnany from the RNC says, listen, you know, if we keep the Senate and increase our, you know, holding of seats in the Senate, that has only happened four times in all of history. Four times! She said, so he's already in historical territory with that. The party in power always loses, pretty much always loses seats in the first midterm election after the election of a presidency. You know, she's like, well, you know, we are expecting insane things from him. And if he does that, or holds the bleeding to a bare minimum, as she explained, you know, 30 seats lost for the party with the president in power is the average since the 1800s. Okay, that's the average. I mean, so if he keeps it down to, you know, loss of, you know, a 6-point gap, that again would be historic. It would be great. And, you know, when you look at the fact he has once again, if he does this, dragged the Republicans, even if he just holds the Senate, dragged the Republicans over the finish line, kicking, screaming, and protesting, having to win again. This is Paul Ratfink Ryan, who can't beat a trail out of there fast enough. I cannot wait till he's no longer in leadership. I cannot stand this man on a political basis. I don't know him personally. But you know, explaining with chagrin. Listen to this. And every once in a while, people tell you what they really think. This is Paul Ryan admitting that he is disturbed that we are winning on CNN. Listen carefully to how he puts it. I don't think he meant to be this revealing when he said this. He's talking about how Republicans under Trump are now using Saul Alinsky tactics.
So division in the country. Yeah. Do you see that happening at his rallies?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes meaning?
Well, not always, but sometimes. I worry about tribal identity politics becoming the new norm of how politics is waged. As conservatives, we always thought this was sort of a left-wing Alinsky thing. Unfortunately, the right practices identity politics now as well. It's the day and age, it's technology and everything else. Identity politics, which is now being practiced on both sides of the aisle, is unfortunately working.
I've got news for Ryan.
Unfortunately working.
The only identity that Republicans and conservatives are campaigning on is Americanism. It is not black, it is not white, it is not brown, it is not anything else. It is Americans first. That is not racist. America is a concept and ideal and a structure of government that succeeds for free men when applied properly. That's what this country is. And that is not tribal politics, Mr. Ryan. It is the left and the left alone in this country that is balkanizing this society and this culture.
And if that makes us a tribe of people who still want America to be America as the founders envisioned it, what is wrong with that?
Because it is an America that is open to people of all beliefs,
as it
of
always
all
has been.
Cultures, and as long as you believe in the freedom of the individual, limited government, and a capitalistic free market society, then you are welcome. That's the tribe there.
Yeah, we want to have
a pretty
those,
darn big open tent tribe.
Yes, those standards. But even asking, hey, you got, if you want to come here, you got to love your country, our country. You got to want to be part of our culture. No, racist. Did you hear him at the end? Unfortunately, it's working. You mean we're winning?
Well, Trump said you're going to get tired of winning. I guess Paul's tired.
Yeah, he's tired. He's been trying not to win this whole time. And once again, Republicans, carrying the entire party on his back, dragging them across the finish line again in an attempted win. Again! I just, He leaves. It just leaves me speechless. It is. It's one of the most loving things I've ever seen anybody do toward a country. He, for whatever Trump's faults are in his personal life, he loves this country, and you can tell it by listening to him. Gonna jump on the line with Ronald in Malden. Hey, Ronald.
Hey, no, that's my last name. Thank you anyway. Thank you for taking my call. What I was calling about is the Dakinsville Elementary School, the old school.
Mm-hmm.
Their machines are down, and they're using paper ballot again. And I don't know where I really trust all of that. But I told my wife this morning, I said, they're going to be some machines down somewhere. You wait and see. So I just thought I'd pass that on to y'all. Maybe y'all can pass it on the radio.
Yeah, hopefully they I think you're not the first one to call with that. So hopefully they get that fixed ASAP. Hopefully they do. All right. Thank you for your phone call. I want to get to this real quick because I've been promising it for a while. This whole talk of civil war in this country and what it looks like and what it would be. And, okay, I'm hesitant to do this, but one of the best descriptions of this, it's made me think of this kind of differently, has come from, and this scares me, Clyde Lewis? Yeah, Ground Zero. He's the kind of nutty overnight guy. Yeah, I know. I'm treading on dangerous territory, but a lot of what the guy says is, you know, purely for entertainment. But he did live through the Civil War in Buenos Aires. I did a fascinating monologue on this that really struck me. Several of you actually sent it to me. And like the third time, I was like, okay, I'm going to read this thing. And I was glued to it. And he talked about what it was like to live in Buenos Aires during the Civil War. And he said, Americans, you know, and I only bring this up because, again, we've had a poll in the last year in which a third of Americans believe we will be in an actual Civil War within 5 years. So, I mean, this is actually a top of mind thing. I said, Americans think of Civil War because it's our experience. As like the Civil War we had here, you know, there's going to be two sides, going to be on a battlefield, they'll have bayonets, and then when somebody blows the whistle, they run at each other, and the thought that that would happen in this country, I mean, it's kind of bizarre. He's right. He said, but that's because Americans don't know what a real Civil War looks like in the modern era. And he says he does. He lived through it in Buenos Aires. Here's what he says. I want to make it clear that during a Civil War in a modern city like Buenos Aires, life was quite normal, except for little things that would make you wonder if you would make it through the day doing routine things. I can imagine that in the United States, a civil war would be similar. The outbreak of that civil war wouldn't look at all different from what the normal news cycle would regularly report at first. It begins with something like a politically motivated mass shooting. Another example would be a biological attack, either in a major city or directed at Congress or the president. It would be something like the anthrax attack in 2001 after the 9/11 attacks or the ricin attack that happened just before the Kavanaugh vote. I talked about that extensively. The media did not. These are simple politically motivated attacks. These attacks are actually supposed to not only change directions politically, but they are also there to generate copycat attacks, he says. And again, for those of you just tuning in, this is a description of what civil war would look like, might look like in the U.S. by somebody who lived through it in Buenos Aires. Okay, these can be both domestic terror attacks and foreign attacks whose sole purpose is generating a backlash. We are seeing this very small right now. It's Washington, it's Portland, it's places like that. They are simply done in order to provoke a response. If the response is overwhelming and police departments cannot keep up with the politically sectarian violence, then we will see the next phase of civil warfare. If there's an insurgence and the domino effect is in play, a U.S. military crackdown on any kind of insurgency will be inevitable. This will be your martial law scenario, except it will either be the military working with an already militarized police or the police working against the military. I don't know about that part, but here's what he said. There will always be restraint to start with. However, if there is an insurgency, and my computer just crashed before I got to the good part. Anyway, he said basically that the insurgency in Buenos Aires ended up being about six groups clashing over and over and over again. And they all pile in. And yeah, so, and I said, unfortunately, I don't have that part right now. Oh, here he is. Here he goes. In the dirty war of South America, there were several sides that were fighting. There were the Peronists, the radicals, the communists, the Nazis, the Catholic Church, the Jews, the junta, the police, the madres of the plaza, and so on and so on. Each group would have their own band of terrorists carrying out executions, abductions, and torture. He said, in America, we could have a left-wing group incite violence or insurgency that would spark a response from Black Lives Matter or hashtag Me Too. However, all eyes would be on Antifa, as they are usually behind violent attacks. He is so right with this. And he's not the only one that's figured it out. So, has ISIS. I told you they're here. They promised us they'd come. Guatemalan president caught them in his country preparing to infiltrate our border. We know 60 of them have returned from the battlefield to Canada. They could come that way, too. And they've already figured out this civil war thing. And they got a plan. Yes. As we recently learned when we caught one of them attempting to implement it. Oh, good. I see the management is writing in Bobby Mack for governor.
Oh, really?
Yes, and me for District 4 rep. Okay. So that's all a vote of confidence. You think I can put that on my resume?
Yeah. You're not exactly a candidate. You could just say that you had received votes for that.
I prefer the management thought I should have a bigger leadership position. Okay. How about that? That'll sound good,
I'm down
right?
for that, yeah.
Yeah. You know how it is when you write your resume, right?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clean the bathroom becomes a, you know what I mean, a break room restoration.
There you go.
Okay, so anyway. I was just writing a description by a guy who had, you know, witnessed the Civil War in Buenos Aires. And, you know, how it went. He said, you know, Americans think of Civil War. They think, you know, Lincoln, South versus the North, that there's going to be people suited up in, you know, costumes and you'll be able to tell which side is which, like jerseys. And he said, no, it doesn't happen that way. You just go about your life with these various groups literally attacking and sometimes assaulting and assassinating each other. He said, we're headed for that in the U.S. He thinks it may have already begun. And curiously, he lists the Ricin attack pre-Kavanaugh vote as the first wave of that. This was, he had given this Clyde Lewis, who's on the like Ground Zero show. Okay, like I don't usually quote him as an authority on anything because he's a little nuts, but he did live through the Buenos Aires Civil War, and it was just fascinating to have him describe that as a survivor of those kind of political conditions. Meanwhile, I just thought it was really interesting. They just arrested a Muslim man, Nasser al-Madej somebody, a national U.S. citizen from Iraq. He's from Ohio. He has been accused of plotting to spark a bloody civil war by provoking standoffs between American militia leaders, as he calls them, and federal authorities. Listen to this. Among the plots he was considering, and by the way, they got him when he was traveling. They got him at John Glenn International Airport in Columbus, Ohio. He was attempting to travel to Astana, Kazakhstan to hook up with ISIS. As part of this whole plot. But among the things that he was considering was hack attacks on the computers of right-wing and militia leaders to fill them with porn and child sex abuse videos, then tip the FBI. He said when the militias, right-wing groups, see their leaders being arrested right and left on what to them appear to be trumped-up charges, they'll panic. Then we start off with assassination. Soon the militias will be having standoffs with the feds, which will turn bloody. Anyway, he believed that it would take just one small spark just like this to launch a civil war in America that would then spin out of control, even if groups learned the truth about who was behind it, because then they'd be in the retaliatory phase. Anyway, he said he was hoping to be smuggled into Afghanistan, trained by ISIS affiliate, and then returned to the U.S. And that they're looking at like information kinds of, the things like that. Anyway, he said he wanted to trigger. He told an informant he wanted to trigger a civil war between the U.S. government and anti-government groups.
Good luck with that. That's a bit of a stretch.
I don't think it is. And let me tell you why. I mean, look where we are already with Antifa blocking traffic, keeping people out of buildings. And you and I keep agreeing, hey, listen, they are waiting for one of us to pull out a gun when one of them starts shoving us around. You know what I mean? Or punching us or doing all that. I mean, it's only going to take one spark, I'm afraid, before things go nuts, especially if we keep the House in the midterms. They are going to go nuts.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, remember who the federal government is headed by. They're still, for the next 2 years, going to be a Republican in charge of the federal government.
Yes, but if you take the Buenos Aires model, right, where you've got, they're not fighting the government. They're fighting each other.
Right.
These groups. I could see that scenario.
Yeah, I can see that. I just don't think that you're going to have a situation where it's going to be sparked under the Trump administration where militia groups are going to be battling the Trump administration authorities.
Yeah.
I just don't see that.
I can see
However,
that. That makes sense.
But the scenario where if this election doesn't turn out the way that liberals in the media are hoping it will or think that it will, that I think you could see a total meltdown of the media and progressives and taking things to the streets and getting even more violent than what they've already done. And I think the other serious threat you'll see is where it will become the media and the left questioning the validity of elections in this country and wanting the federal government to take that away from the states.
That's already beginning
to happen. That is what I am concerned about.
And
that, number one, that is unconstitutional. It cannot happen that way because the states individually are in charge of elections, period. Period.
They were already angling for that at the end of the Obama administration with building the whole Russia case. And they had the feds were, remember the Homeland Security Department even tried to begin to take over federal elections.
Right.
So that was scary. Hey, listen, this is up. And I don't know what it means. Okay. I'm not predicting anything, but this is interesting. Some final numbers rolling in on early voting. The Republicans are doing better than in 2016 in early voting. They were actually up by 122,000 votes. Over what we did in 2016 in early voting. We're also up as a percentage, for instance.
Yeah.
In Arizona, percentage-wise, early voting 1.7%, up 1.7% GOP over what we did in 2016. Now, that does not mean we're going to win and keep control of the House or anything because Democrats began to surge in actually showing up over the weekend. So, you know, that could counter it. But again, we have not seen this before. Democrats usually win early voting.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be interesting to watch.
If the trend continues, and not only do we have record numbers of Republicans showing up to do early voting, but record numbers of Republicans showing up on Election Day.
Yes.
Then that's a game changer.
Yeah, it is.
Now, if these are all folks who had wanted to get it out of the way and get it done, and then that's going to be fewer people that are showing up, we got issues. I'm telling you, we got serious issues.
Yes. Meanwhile, did you see this? So Obama held 1/1024th of a Trump rally. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my gosh. This is in Vegas.
Okay, Vegas,
yes,
baby.
They had him in a small room where they mashed the crowd together, but you could still see the empty seats in the bleachers behind.
Yeah.
57 from the media, 14 Secret Service agents, and 43 love-struck spectators.
Can they just keep him in Vegas?
Yeah, they can have him.
You know, just, you know, what happens in Vegas should stay in Vegas, and I think Obama should stay there.
Him and that crazy Kirsten, whatever her name is, Sinema? Oh, that woman is nuts.
Oh, yeah. The pink tutu.
Oh, she's nuts.
Yeah, I'm happy with you to join the Taliban and fight against American troops.
How can it be so close?
Yeah, that just absolutely stuns me. When you look at the background and the service of McSally. Please.
And a very moderate person. I mean, she's not like she's some white right-winger, you know?
And listen, I'm not one of those who like, well, if you've served the military, then you're better than everybody else. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying when you look at her service, West Point fighter pilot, first woman to serve as a fighter pilot in combat. I mean, just accomplishment after accomplishment after accomplishment. And she can sing. She sang the national anthem
at
the Arizona Cardinals NFL game.
Yeah.
And she didn't kneel.
And I mean, on top of that, I mean, with Sinema literally saying, like, that was fine with her if you decided to join up with the Taliban. I mean, that was a valid choice. I mean, wow. I mean, what percentage of Americans agrees with that? 1%? I mean, well, actually, liberals probably 16.
Oh, boy.
That's what percentage of society they make. I just can't see her being ahead there. I can't comprehend it.
No, not at all.
I don't get it. I'm not following that. It is amazing. If Gilliam pulls it out in Florida, that'll amaze me too. I mean, he literally is under investigation by the FBI at this very moment. You know what it takes for a Democrat to be under investigation by the FBI? I mean, do you have any idea?
That's got to be pretty serious.
It's got to be,
There's probably actually evidence there as opposed to a Mueller investigation.
Like, it has to be irrefutable, unignorable evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So there you go. Okay.
God help us today. That's all I can say. Pray for this nation in this election.
Texture rates, you are as dumb as a liberal if you worship or follow monarchs or royal families. No different than an Obama supporter. I can't say anything on this show.
You can't.
There is a troll for everything I say.
Yep.
Everything. It's shoes, folks. It's shoes. Really comfortable shoes, but just shoes.
And you can throw them in the washing machine, too.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Ralph writes to me at Tara at 1063WORD.com. That's my email address. Tara, globalism. We were grateful that Xi Jinping, the head of China, did what they never do. World leaders actually defined what globalism is, and it is horrifying. That is where countries, Western countries, begin to act against their own interest in the furtherance of the interest of global elites and global government. He explained that. He said, by the way, globalization will happen independent of the people's will. Shocking when you consider. This is what the elites, this is elites telling you what they consider it to be. We've had folks as recently as 3 years ago, some further back, Romney, Ryan, Rubio, GOP primaries, touting globalism without ever explaining what it was. Now we see why. Ralph writes, Tara, globalism is the world's rich and elite overthrowing the governments of every country and running them for and by the elites and the extremely rich. The oligarchs want to run the world. What was that 1980 song by Tears for Fears? Song title, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Thank you, Ralph. Well put, as always. Meanwhile, this is shocking. Folks, there is a rising anti-Semitism on the left that is alarming. I say that not just for partisan purposes, because I would like to bury these people, rhetorically speaking, and finish them off at the polls, but because this is really scary. But we are seeing a resurgence of this. Did you see the New York Times? Recent attack on a synagogue? Turned out it was a Democrat activist in New York who they had recently glowingly profiled. Yeah. And the New York Times admission that the number one kind of hate crime in New York right now is anti-Semitism against Jews. But that it is barely noted by the left. No candlelight vigils, none of that, like they would for other crimes, because right-wingers aren't doing it. It's left-wingers. And so they don't care. And they need to do a better job of calling it out. Well, listen to this. Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. You ready for this? Led a chant of death to America. In Iran this weekend. I don't know why I said Iraq. In Iran this weekend. He also led a chant of death to Israel. Okay. I just looked. He still has a verified Twitter account. He still has a verified Facebook account. Which is odd. Because Alex Jones, if you remember, was deplatformed for too pointedly, criticizing a CNN reporter in person. Didn't push him, didn't shove him, didn't do any of that. What was in his face about his fake news reporting? Totally deplatformed. They even took the app out of the Google store. Meanwhile, you got old Louis Farrakhan. Death to Israel. Damn, that's anti-Semitic. Never mind him calling Jews the people of Satan, praising Hitler for killing them. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The fact that he was invited to the White House. He visited with Maxine Waters. He visited with Black Political Caucus leaders. He visited with Clyburn. He is an anti-Semite of the highest order and a traitor to this country, and he still has a damn Twitter account. Meanwhile, Alex Jones is left with only the website. I doubt he'll still have that by the time we hit 2020. See how this worked? Now, Alex Jones, I don't want to defend him as a real conservative or anything. He gets a lot of stuff right, though. He embarrassed the FBI, forced them to retract their timeline in the Vegas shooting. They do some good reporting. They particularly do some good reporting on the deep state. If anything, they lean to the right and they terrorize the federal government with their reporting. So, I mean, folks, the left is not serious about combating hate and anti-Semitism. Not even a little bit. When you see Louis Farrakhan's Twitter account come down, keep in mind, these are the same people who took actor James Woods' Twitter account temporarily because he forwarded a meme joking that liberal men shouldn't vote because it's not fair to women. They should sit out the election. He lost his Twitter account for that. Louis Farrakhan is chanting death to Israel and death to America and Iran, and he still has it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.